Hey, can you hear me?
Okay, good. Well, so can your potential customers, right here on your Odyssey station. You might be used to skipping social ads, but you are still listening to me right now. And so are your clients. To learn how to drive more business and how Odyssey can help get your message to your customers, visit stateofaudio.com. That's stateofaudio.com.
AT&T Fiber presents a straightforward moment.
Your wine?
Thanks. I'll pretend I know what I'm doing before saying it's good.
And I'll pretend I don't know you're pretending.
Are you a gagillionaire?
Yeah, I have AT&T Fiber. The straightforward pricing has inspired me to be more straightforward.
Me too.
Ugh, this wine. I'll fetch you a better one.
Straightforward is better. No equipment fees, no data caps, no price increase at 12 months. Live like a gagillionaire with AT&T Fiber. Limited availability in select areas. Visit att.com/hypergig for details.
Country roads, take me home to the place.
Glad to have you with us. And I know a lot of people are out of their familiar routines and rhythms. Maybe you're driving, you're just staying up late, you're up early. Feels kind of early to wake up on a holiday. But if it's you, you know why. And we're glad to keep you company. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Our Facebook page, too. And then our YouTube channel, brand new video posted as part of our video series, Ask Amy Anything. It's got a summertime theme, some summertime theme, along with a little bit of holiday flair. And producer Jay did incorporate a bunch of your questions and also a rapid fire that gave me no options. He posed a rapid fire in which I felt like I had to turn down both multiple times. But it was tough. It was fun. And we goofed off. It's in a different locale than we've ever used before. So check it out on YouTube. And if you're looking for the link, it's pinned to the top of our Facebook page as well. It's on my Twitter or our show Twitter. And our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. The latest in the NBA. Free agent signings aren't official until Thursday. That's the first day that teams can actually put the contract in front of agents and players, and they can sign on the dotted line. But, of course, a lot of these deals and agreements have already been shaken over. Just kidding. They don't shake over these things anymore. I wish they did, but that would create a whole lot of problems. So it's the verbal agreement now, which means technically guys can still back out. But we know that the big stories really revolve around Damian Lillard. Say that's the number one, and we'll give you the latest here in a couple of seconds. Damian Lillard, the fact that the Miami Heat, according to multiple insiders, are willing to make everyone on their roster available. This is a team that went to the NBA Finals for the second time in four seasons, and they're four springs. They're willing to make everyone available except Bam and Butler. So that could mean a major shakeup. Max Strus already gone from their NBA Finals team, their Eastern Conference Championship team. What will that roster look like? To me, that's a huge story. And is there a connection to Damian Lillard? Sure. But Miami in and of itself is looking to shake up its roster again. We've got Draymond Green returning to Golden State for less money than Kyrie Irving is going back to Dallas for. Chris Paul right now is a member of the Warriors. Don't know if that will remain, but you'll hear from Dre on CP3 coming up. We know the Wizards have seen a major shakeup. Marcus Smart headed to Memphis. It's a big deal for the Boston Celtics. The Cavaliers are making moves. The Suns definitely want to put themselves in the upper echelon and really for the NBA champions not to be overlooked or outdone. They're standing pat except for Bruce Brown. He ends up with Indiana. There's a lot going on. I wouldn't call it as outrageous as what we've seen from, I don't know, the last 10 years during NBA free agency. It's not completely over the top crazy. In fact, I've been surprised by the number of guys who've actually remained with their teams. But the Damian Lillard question, the Dame question, if you will, it's still dangling. Dame is still dangling. Shams Charania gives us the latest from NBA Central, and looks like Dame is honed in on South Beach.
I'm told Damian Lillard only wants to play for the Miami Heat. This is going to be a patient process. You're going to see Portland Trailblazers general manager Joe Cronin go through the league and track the market and see what else he can get in the marketplace for him. But I think, like James Harden, Damian Lillard is the caliber of player and at the age where a preferred destination is the likely path. And when you think about Miami, I'm told there are three or four team scenarios in a potential deal with the Heat that would potentially net the Blazers several first-round draft picks in a Lillard trade. And I think when you look at what Portland could want in a Damian Lillard deal, you're going to want assets, young players potentially moving forward, but definitely getting picks in a potential Lillard trade.
Oh, and a potential what? I'm sorry, what, Shams? A potential Lillard trade. Tray, as in like a three-point shot. A tray. Wait, can we hear it again? A Lillard tray.
Picks in a potential Lillard tray.
Oh. Potential Lillard tray. Kind of like the type of tray that you would get food put on at a cafeteria.
In a potential Lillard tray.
Not even a tray, really. It's more like a track. It's like a track. It could be a track. It could be a tryst. It could be a train. It could be any of those things. It just has to do with Lillard. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I really do love the idea of Damian Lillard joining Miami. And I think the Heat would be so much better for it to have a guy who can not just shoot from the outside, but create his own shots and his own offense. He's smart. He's crafty. He's obviously a badass. And what we've heard is that along with the Heat, the Clippers and the 76ers are also interested. Joe Cronin could try to play hardball and could say, hey, we're the ones who now have the leverage. You want to go play in Miami. Everyone knows you want to go play in Miami. So we're going to make sure we get everything we need from the Heat. And that's the only issue with Dame and his camp making it known, floating it out there that he wants to play for Miami, because now it's kind of backed the Heat into a corner. If they really want him, well, no, they're not bidding against other teams necessarily, but the Blazers don't have to let him go for anything less than what they desire out of it, because they recognize that this is the only option for Dame, or this is the only place he's going to be happy. So they can kind of threaten, well, hey, too bad. If we don't get what we need or we get a better offer from somewhere else, from a different team, then maybe we're going to go a different direction. But the Heat will know that. And if they want Dame and they are willing to go to great lengths to get him, the Blazers should be well compensated. They should get enough capital in return. And maybe it's not draft picks. It's just crazy to me that every year it seems like Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra, they shuffle the deck and they start not quite from scratch, because they've got identity and culture. They've got Bam, they've got Butler, but they kind of start over. Now, I think they are bringing back Kevin Love, if I remember that headline maybe over the weekend. I mean, Love is the king of the outlet pass. And there were times when he played more minutes during the postseason than just the, I don't know, 8 or 9 that he would get from starting. Feels like they're bringing him back as a veteran presence, maybe because they won't have Udonis Haslem on the bench anymore. Supposed to be taking a different role with the team officially retiring. The roster will look different, but that is where Eric Spoelstra and his staff do their best work. Plus Jimmy Butler and Bam, they'll be responsible for making sure new guys are incorporated into the system. But man, what a boost it would be to have a veteran presence, not to mention an extremely talented one, but a veteran presence like Damian Lillard that you're adding, who he can hit the ground running and he knows exactly what they need and how to do it. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Draymond had, in the wake of agreeing to stay in Golden State, had done an extensive podcast with Paul George and company. It's called the Podcast P Show. Podcast P. I like it. And he essentially talked about everything under the sun, which is why I really would enjoy having him on the show. People ask me that. Who would you like to host with? Well, I would love to host a show with Draymond Green. The time that he spent on the podcast P would have been, I love me some Pat P. I mean, Paul, Pat. Okay. The time that he spent with Paul would have been half our show. Plus outtakes. No, we don't tape the show. I'm just kidding. Draymond loves to talk, and I think he gives great info. The more I hear him talk, the more I learn from him. Now, interestingly enough, it's the best stuff is not so much about his contract, though we did hear him at the end of the season talk about how the Warriors have unfinished business. They're not done. And he doesn't think this group has petered out or has played to the end of their potential. You may or may not think the Warriors are a team that can compete with the Nuggets. You may look at what happened against the Lakers and say, there was a definite ceiling. And I'm telling you what, they deserved it because of the way that they were terrible on the road. A lot of it was discipline. A lot of it was focus. A lot of it was defense. They were awful on the road this year. So they deserve what they got. Not being a team with home court, at least initially. And then they squandered an opportunity against the Lakers. They were definitely exposed. And we know that already there are pieces that are gone, like Dante DiVincenzo and Jordan Poole. I mean, he had a miserable postseason. So we know there are guys that are headed elsewhere. But Draymond will stay, and he actually really likes the addition of Chris Paul to the Warriors roster.
I think he brings a couple things. After the Lakers series, Steph said in his press conference, we ran out of variety. If they're taking this away, then you can go to this. If they're taking that away, then you can move to this. Our team last year didn't have a variety of ways that we could score. And I think CP adds another thing to the menu. But I'll tell you one more thing that I think it unlocks, and I actually look forward to learning this from him. I think Chris Paul will completely unlock Jonathan Kuminga and his growth. CP is great with young guys. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Ayton looked like a bust before CP came to Phoenix. No disrespect to Ayton. More so a nod to CP.
Yeah.
What he will do for Jonathan Kuminga and unlocking Kuminga is huge.
Just a taste of what he thinks about the Warriors roster with Chris Paul. Now, Draymond himself is 33. So he spent his entire career there at Golden State, similar to Clay and Steph. He's a defensive specialist, former defense player of the year. And he's a guy that Steve Kerr looks to when he needs energy, when he needs that intensity. The edge. Draymond's got a tude. We know that. But he's also a guy that can pass exceedingly well and has such a great rapport with Steph and Klay, especially Steph. And that's born over the course of a decade playing together. You just don't find that by snapping your fingers and going somewhere else, even if you do make more money that way. Now, what he told Anscape after the season ended, so this is going back before he agreed to stay with Golden State, but there are a lot of reasons why I believe that he would remain with the Warriors. I've been here 11 years. You don't just up and change that. The guys that I started with are still here, and of course, I'd love to be here. So that was right after the season ended. And Dre definitely did take less money. $100 million over 4 years. Kyrie Irving took $126 over 3 years. Even Jeremy Grant got more money in Portland. I like this. You can say what you want about Dre and about how he's a pain in the rear, but he's extremely talented. He knows his role. He loves what he loves what he does with the team. He has a passion, and he's okay with not breaking the bank. Super interesting what he had to say about whether or not basketball feels like a job. Because Nikola Jokic says that it does. And I would agree with that. As much as I love talking about sports for a living, it's still a job. It's still time consuming. It's not all fun and games all the time. There's a lot of frustrations about this business, meaning the media. And it's a grind at times. I can understand that when you do it for a living, it doesn't always feel like it's fun. You can have a love for the game and still believe that it's a grind. Still look at it as a job. And honestly, if you do look at it as a job, well, then it increases your professionalism, I think, too. So you'll hear from Dre, more from Dre coming up. But yeah, really interesting when he was talking to Paul George on the podcast P show about whether basketball feels like a job to him. I think his answer will definitely surprise you. Good to have you with us. Happy 4th of July to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Nobody likes his job, or maybe they do. They're lying.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
They're lying, he says. I'm not a huge classic rock fan, but this song is actually on my running playlist. I love this song. I've always loved Sweet Home Alabama. Nikola Jokic says, people who tell you they love their jobs all the time are lying. Now, I would think that his attitude is all positive and all sunshine and roses right now that he's an NBA champion. And the fact that he's an NBA Finals MVP for the first time in his history, that will tend to change your perspective. And that his roster, the Nuggets roster, is relatively intact other than Bruce Brown moving forward. But he makes a point. Anybody who tells you they like their job all the time is lying.
They're lying.
Draymond Green actually agrees with Jokic about having basketball as a job.
I hate it. I love playing basketball and I love to compete. But he's not lying.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. And I don't want to sound like someone who takes it for granted, because as you can see, every time I step on the floor, like I'm going, like I don't take it for granted right at all. But like, to Joker's point, it's work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you have to show up to work every day and perform. despite what could be going on at work, what can be going on at home, what can be going on in the world, you have to show up and perform. And it's work. Guess what? Just like people see you in acting and they're like, man, I want to be an actor because you're on TV. There's so much bullshit that comes with it. Like, so much. The politics of it. It's awful. It's the same thing with us. It's so much bullshit that come with it and the politics. But I wouldn't trade my job for another job in the world.
Now, see, I like that at the end. There's a lot that comes with the job. There's a lot more than just playing basketball. But he wouldn't trade it. Strong words, though, from Draymond Green. I hate it. I've never said that about my job. I have said at times, I hate the commute, but probably more than once. I hate the way the industry is changing and the fact that it's shrinking and that very few companies these days bother to invest in radio. And it's not just radio that's feeling the pinch. For those of you who pay any attention at all, you know that major media companies seemingly every week, including my former network, are laying people off. You make too much money, you're a target. Even the most talented broadcasters, insiders, analysts, hosts are in danger of losing their jobs. It's a very competitive business with no job security. So those are the various challenges that we deal with. In addition, as I say, radio is not considered a priority for a lot of media companies. And if you're not making waves, well, a lot of times you just get ignored. I don't remember the last time that I heard from our boss. Not a priority. And it's okay because I really like being autonomous and doing my own thing. I prefer to be in the office when there are no office politics. But every job comes with its own challenges and its own negatives. And in the case of Draymond, he's right. You're always in the spotlight. There's a lot of politics that come with. There's all the media responsibilities. You're not just playing basketball. If you were just playing basketball, well, that'd be different. If I was just doing radio, it would be different. We like to make it sound as though we show up, sit down in a chair, and start talking. But hell no, it's not anything like that. It's a job. And for Draymond, there's a lot of BS involved with it. And here's what I would say about that. In sports, as well as in media, if there's no BS involved, you've got a problem. If nobody cares what you have to say or what you're doing or how you're doing on a regular basis, well, then you've got a problem. To be irrelevant is far worse than to have to deal with all the BS that comes with being in the spotlight. It's a good problem to have. I don't feel badly at all for Kyle Shanahan when he bitches about the fact that he's got to answer questions regarding his quarterbacks. Now, does he have a QB problem? Sure. But guess what? It's worse if nobody gives a crap when you're in the world of sports. It's worse if you're, say, the Orlando Magic. And the Denver Nuggets were that for a long time, right? They were relatively anonymous, irrelevant. The fact that the Warriors attract so much attention all the time and that there's so much extra BS that Draymond has to deal with is actually a positive because it means you're high profile and people want to know what's going on.
No disrespect to Orlando Magic, but that's one of the worst teams in the league.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I actually forgot. The podcast P Show with Paul George. I like his podcast. Guys definitely tend to talk to him. Steph Curry, any team that he's on is going to attract a lot of attention. And Dre loves to rave about Steph. They're one of the old married couples in sports. They can finish each other's sentences. I loved seeing the interaction with them and Clay on the golf course on Thursday in the match that took place in Vegas.
That teaches man some etiquette.
Steph was trying to teach Draymond about golf. Dray knew nothing about golf, including what you're doing when you replace a divot, why you step over someone's line, why you're not supposed to talk when a guy's in his backswing. Didn't matter to him at all. I mean, the two of them, they have such a great rapport. And then again, Clay as part of the mix. Steve Kerr, too. Draymond was telling the story in a different part of the podcast about how he, Clay, and Steph still sit together on every plane flight. And that Bob Myers thinks that's funny after all these years that they still sit together. And initially, Dre kind of laughed it off. Like, what do you mean? Of course we sit together. And then he recognized what Bob Myers was saying. After all these years, you guys are still tight. You still care about catching up and talking, hanging out. If you missed it, we'll bring it back a little bit later on. But yeah, it's always fun for me when you can hear Dre rave about other guys. And in this case, it's Steph and how he's transformed his physical body over the last few years.
If Steph doesn't get stronger post-2020, he's still Steph Curry and he's still shooting the piss out the ball. But him getting as strong as he got has actually changed his game. Mm-hmm. It's actually made him much more effective. Like, you can't run him off his spot. You can't just bump him and he's falling over. He's getting to where he wants to go. Mm-hmm. And so I think his dedication in the weight room, when I say dedicate, that man is in the weight room every single day.
So he getting buff right now.
He in the weight room after shoot around. He in the weight room before the game. He doing a full lift after the game.
Wow.
Like, he in the weight room before practice. He in the weight room after practice every single day.
We knew that Steph had gotten stronger. Steph himself has talked about his fitness. But that sounds like a lot of lifting. Ugh, I can barely lift once a week. I'm not a big fan. Trey also talks about number one overall draft pick Victor Wembanyama. Apparently he doesn't have Wemby fever. But you can almost feel him salivating over the opportunity to guard. What is he, 7'2"? The 7'3", the Spurs' new prospect that is all the rage.
You're not just dribbling it through me like the Harlem.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. You got to press up into him. If you let him get comfortable, you lose mm-hmm. because you're not blocking his shot. He may not even see your contest. I'm crowding him from the time he start running up and down the court. You also get to a certain height where it becomes a disservice in this league. Once you get to this level, you're going to run up against guys who's way stronger, that moves as fast or faster, and they play way lower to the ground. And as you know, low man wins. But I'm going to tell you what I think separates him as a rim protector is as elite as we have in the NBA. Teams are always looking for rim protectors. There's someone in the NBA getting paid as a rim protector, probably more money than UP, which is a lot of money.
Are you from France too?
He is from France. He gets paid a lot of money.
He makes me laugh. I do enjoy hearing these guys when they're not sitting at a desk with a microphone in front of them. And as I say, people ask me all the time, who would you most like to host a show with in the sports world? And Draymond Green is my first thought. So have a little more with Draymond. And Paul George, that's the Podcast P show. I don't know what's better, Draymond with Podcast P or Aaron Rodgers with McAfee with the other P. It's a different kind of P. It's Pat P. Well, it's actually not, but it could be. Anyway, Draymond is, he's got his own podcast. He is a fantastic talker. He's got a career. Well, I mean, he's already doing media, right? It's pretty easy to welcome Draymond Green to the dark side. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Always good to connect with you. Also on our Facebook page. Wimbledon is underway. Novak Djokovic takes one step toward 24. Ooh, that made me think about the TV show 24 and how much I loved it. I actually, 2 years ago on vacation, tried to watch it again. it's so old now. The original season one, it's so old now. Kiefer Sutherland is brilliant, but I look back and the technology has changed so much. And I don't, at least I, where I found it, because I found it online somewhere on vacation and started to watch it, even the numbers that are ticking just look so archaic. And I don't believe it was in high def.
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, probably not.
Wait, let's go back and see the original series or the original season of 24, how old it is.
When was season one? I'll guess like 2007, maybe.
You're going to guess 2007? Okay, hold on. I did love this, all of it. I loved it.
Maybe earlier.
2001.
Yeah, wow.
Holy crap. Wow. No way. Yes, from November 6, 2001 to May 21st, 2002 is when it aired. It's 22 years old. Well, not quite, but almost 22 years old. So again, the technology is just so bad. Well, it's not bad. I take that back. It was great for what it was. It's outdated. It looks so old. So when I tried to go back and watch it again, I didn't really enjoy it as much because the technology, I'm a high def snob anyway now. I'm elitist when it comes to my high def. I'll watch a lot of things and I don't mind having a smaller TV, but I do not enjoy watching things in standard def. And so it wasn't, I didn't like it.
It was ahead of its time.
It was ahead of its time, but
it
now it's hard
so
to watch.
A lot of other shows could run.
That's true.
Did you watch the whole thing, by the way? Like, did you finish the series 24? I never did.
So I watched seasons 1 through 4. Mm-hmm. I may have even watched 5. Then I skipped 6 and 7. What were there, 9 seasons?
A lot, yeah.
I think there were 9 seasons. And so I skipped 6 and 7 because people told me they were really bad. But so I had started late. I wasn't watching it when it was coming out. I binged it. Oh my gosh, there were nights. I was living in Rhode Island, I remember, and I was not working a regular job. So I was in between media jobs. I would stay up until 6 o'clock in the morning watching Stupid 24. So I binged the first 4 or 5 seasons in the span of, say, a summertime. Like, I couldn't stop watching it. Anyway, so as I was getting through with seasons 5, someone told me 6 and 7 were not worth watching. And so I remember that I caught up. I jumped to 8, and then I caught up. Watch season 9 live. Mm. So I was able to finish it live while everybody else was doing it. But I didn't like it as much that way because when you wanted to see what was happening, you couldn't.
You got
to
wait a week.
To wait a week. Yeah, my goodness.
What that man went through in a day.
I know. So many times.
Unreal.
So many times he went through it in a day.
Never went to the bathroom. Never showered. Don't worry about that.
Never ate.
Never ate anything. He was starving all day.
Oh my gosh. It was such a good, good show though. Now, how did I get on 24? How did we do that?
Huh.
Huh. I honestly have no idea. I don't either. Someone remind us how we got on the 24 tangent, please. It wasn't Kiefer Sutherland. What was it? Why were we 24 hours? No. 20. No.
Stopwatch.
No, something to do
countdown.
With it was something to do with the media because I think what sparked was how archaic it looked after the fact. Now I can't remember.
Rewatching it?
What?
That you were rewatching it or tried to
rewatch it? No, it was something else. It was something about the technology that reminded me. Okay, clearly not important. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Totally fine. We do want you to check out our new tech on YouTube. We've got a brand new video version of Ask Amy Anything, and the link is on both Twitter and Facebook. Oh, I know why. Duh. I'm such a dodo. Because I tease Wimbledon, and Novak is chasing 24.
Yep.
Okay, so on that note, here we go.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Even though I have had plenty of success here in my career and played this tournament so many times, I still feel like that, young Novak coming to the tournament and really being able to live his dream. So it's an amazing tournament, the biggest one in my eyes. So of course, I'm super excited to start off 2023 with me.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You just gotta ignite the light and let it shine. Just on the night, like the 4th of July. Cause baby, you're a firework. Come on, show them what you work. Make them go as you shoot across.
Remember when Katy Perry did the Super Bowl halftime show? I thought she was great. I really did. I like Katy Perry. She is married to Orlando Bloom. Is that who she's with? Weird combo. I don't know why that's weird to me, but it is. It's because I think of him as Legolas or not Jack, Will. Will in Pirates of the Caribbean. Yes. Yeah, there's such a great roles for him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. He's what?
He's due for like another role.
He is
role.
Due for something huge.
Something huge, yeah.
Something big. Anyway, I think he's a very talented actor. It's just odd to think of him with Katy Perry.
A little bit.
I don't know why. Well, we're all over the map talking about 24 and Kiefer Sutherland and the outdated tech, but it was ahead of its time. Anyway, back to 24. We've got Novak Djokovic, who is chasing his 24th Grand Slam singles title. That would tie him with Margaret Court for the most ever. He's coming off the win at the French Open. He also won down under at the Australian. Remember a couple years ago, he was on track to win all four Grand Slams in a calendar year, but he fell short at the US Open. No pressure, but of course, Wimbledon could be the third among the Grand Slams. And he advances after a first round win on Monday.
I'm glad to overcome the challenge today. I think always the first matches are a little bit tricky. You know, you're a bit rusty, trying to feel the right movement on the court coming from clay, obviously not playing any lead-up tournament, playing a lot of practice matches, but it's different, you know, walking out on an official match. So it takes a little bit of time, really, for me to get used to the grass, but it was a solid performance.
Listen to all the history that is on the line for Novak. I mentioned winning 24. But how about he's trying to match Roger Federer's 8 Wimbledon titles and equal Fed and Bjorn Borg with their record of 5 in a row. So he's the 4-time defending champ at Wimbledon. He's won the last 4. There's a lot of history. And as you can imagine, there's a lot of pressure on him. Now, he has shown that over the course of the last few years, especially having to go toe-to-toe with Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal, he's gotten better in handling pressure. Initially, they had the edge in that category. Not anymore. He's the overwhelming favorite.
I don't feel more relaxed, to be honest. I still feel hungry for success, for more Grand Slams, for more achievements in tennis. And as long as there's that drive, I know that I'm able to compete at the highest level.
Do you know that the last time he dropped a match on center court, which is where he plays all of his matches now at Wimbledon, the last time he lost on center court in 2013. Oh my gosh, it's been a decade since he lost on center court. And that was in the final against Andy Murray. Also, his last defeat on grass to any of the men who are in this year's draw. So the draws for the Grand Slams are 128 on both the men's and women's side. These are extensive tournaments. 128. The last time he lost on grass, now you heard him say he doesn't really play warm-up tournaments anymore. A lot of times there's a grass court circuit that leads up to Wimbledon. He doesn't play those anymore. But the last time he lost to anybody in this year's draw, 127 other guys, was a decade ago. On grass, he doesn't lose. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Coco Gauff had made it to the third round in all of her attempts at Wimbledon, all of her entries at Wimbledon, until yesterday, where she was out in the first round.
right now I'm very frustrated and disappointed. So yeah, I think it makes me want to work even harder. I feel like I have been working hard, but clearly it's not enough. So I have to go back to the drawing board and see where I need to improve and how to do the right drills to do that.
So Coco Gauff is out. She loses to Sofia Kenin. Meanwhile, Iga Swiatek, who just won the French Open, is now the world number one. She advanced without any trouble. And American Jessica Pegula, who is the daughter of the Bills owners, she's number four in the world now. And she also, when she beat actually an American, which is kind of a bummer because you'd like them to be spread out so they have more opportunities. But she beat fellow American Lauren Davis. Coming up before the show is done, so we still have a couple hours to go, really interesting story that starts with Venus Williams, but ultimately isn't about Venus Williams, at least not the direction we want to take it. She was playing a Ukrainian on Monday. Venus had a pretty scary fall, too, but there she was out there in her 40s, still playing tennis on the grass courts at Wimbledon. Love to hear from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, believe it or not, we got a QB News coming up next hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
AT&T Fiber presents A Straightforward Moment.
Your wine?
Thanks.
I'll pretend I know what I'm doing before saying it's good.
And I'll pretend I don't know you're pretending.
Are you a gigillionaire?
Yeah, I have AT&T Fiber. The straightforward pricing has inspired me to be more straightforward.
Me too.
Ugh, this wine. I'll fetch you a better one.
Straightforward is better. No equipment fees, no data caps, no price increase in 12 months. Live like a gigillionaire with AT&T Fiber. Limited availability in select areas. Visit att.com/hypergig for details.